Thank you. this set, I mean, there were, of course, disagreements with the there are two things that I want to say in terms of what it is. The first thing is that it is true that there's ongoing debate in municipalities whether housing is their mandate. And because of that, honestly, if we are honest, is that they do not capacitate housing offices in order to deal with this massive task and this responsibility. And that is why we always find ourselves in this. In fact, a number of times, because I know that it also then becomes a bone of contention, a number of times I've threatened, maybe we should take the responsibility ourselves of contracting, of monitoring, of making sure that projects are implemented. Because we are using municipalities as our implementing agents, and they need to capacitate their housing offices to have the right people so that they can do this. But if I can be honest with you, there is this ongoing debate. Because they keep on saying that, well, it's unfunded mandate, it's not their mandate, etc. But the last and the most important thing when it comes to who benefits. Any development is a partnership between the state and people. Now, if the people are not paying their road, there will always have these problems. Now, the irony here is that in each and every project where we go to the community, in fact, there isn't a single project where we don't do that. We go to the community and say to the community, please elect people who are going to represent you in the form of project steering committee so that we can ensure that things are done correctly. We can ensure that the people who end up in housing are the right people. But there is a gap there, there is a huge gap there, because some of those people, instead of doing what they are elected to do, they end up having interests that are completely divorced from their original mandate of assisting us to make sure that those things are happening. So these are gaps that we have, Chair, and it's something that we really need to seriously talk about, because yes, we have taken that responsibility, but this is a collective responsibility, and some of the people should be doing what they supposed to do.
Thank you, Chairperson. One of the strategic priorities speaks to, or to ensure the unified level speaks to the upgrade of the policy rules. Now that on its own has become pandemic, because people know now this piece of land will be developed and will put up in Oki or on the customer's border, and also for me to benefit as well. Has the department come to a framework of such that the upgrade will only now be in terms of services and not necessarily top structure?
Can I answer all the questions that come to that? And,
so before we go on, you must answer the answer we want to challenge and know more challenge of the opportunity to attend to it when you go to the book. Because there is also the book. So there's no question about the talk.
The training. About the statement made. Macron, I just want to take you through the first research paper. There was the research that was done on focusing on institutional housing. If you think about that one, we have now where the institutional housing is a program and it receives less priority at the international level. But institutional housing is actually the way to go in attending to provision of housing. We have the minister say the free housing is a question of issue, but institutional housing is a solution. Because what institutional housing is actually rent to buy or rent to hold. This department, because of the advance of everything done, has managed to have each intellectual property and knowledge to be able to implement skills to view this program as a very important one. Hence, on the latest of this policy, you will see that the issues about deferred transfer of title, where people can rent to contribute to buying, is a program that can be introduced. But it's now put under the flagship of this, under the letter that we said for this, and that we have put on the way, which covers the issues of people can rent to own. So there is a positive yield, and when I look at the kind of the research that we conducted, they actually benefit us as well, including with regard to the informal settlements. Hence, we are running out the informal settlement campaign for the 35 citizens, and they said exactly what they are going to do and how it's going to assist in improving their lives and the conditions of people in terms of health, etc., etc., access, and how preventing and having money that we are actually doing. Hence, we even have our NGO centers. So, those research that were conducted yielded good on progress that we are currently running. So when it comes to the research cost benefit, yes, it yielded substantial. Then there was an issue about the empowerment of communities. Certainly do that. It's like our core mandate. We are not empowering communities by giving them only opportunity, but we are empowering them by engaging them even before, during, and after a project. We are actually there to inform communities. We are thinking of this. And you need to establish yourself in the form of a project steering committee. Choose the right people in your community to actually work with us to share the effort. That is empowerment. And we actually educate them about the benefits and who can benefit. What kind of progress the provincial government has in terms of human development. How people can benefit from the various strata. And how can we actually develop that project. That is actually empowering those communities. And if people want to assist themselves, what is that they need to do? We certainly do that. Then there was a statement made, thanks again for the appreciation of all the good work that you are doing. Then the issue
I don't know why. I don't know how to open a deposit to make whatever.
Are you saying that you are not testing for
and we went from 435,000 to 119,000. In the report you made mention of the call center. Now previously this was outsourced. It was outsourced in 2016-17. It was brought back in-house into the part of the premium, and therefore there's a big so that is a change we can talk through. But I'll hand over to the CFO.
Thank you. On the telephone, we make use of a different system now, the CASA system, and it's a cost for telephones, especially if you try at that unit, the telephone is actually administrated and centralized in the department. It doesn't make sense to allocate all of the stuff in one time. Outsourced services, they didn't speak to, airtime and data. Part of the work that these officials do is they go out and visit, they're on the road, go to the sites where there's problems with the tenants and so on. We also moved away from the CG cards regarding these data, started with the cell phone package, and those data is also then utilized. Smartphones with a GPS channel, which is saving costs for everybody to be driving to share the cost.
partnership. I just want to know which part of the partnership are currently in place. And then my second question is on page 9. After the recent housing opportunities, HOT is saying my target was 18,954, but it actually is 19,955. I just want to know why was the target and then my last one on page 14 on the issue of those vacancies. I just wanted to know what were the reasons for these vacancies and when will those vacancies be filled. Thank you.
That was number 3. Number 3. Emma, are you doing? Emma, do you have some other? Over to you, Chile.
This is about partnerships. Can I ask Chile to respond to the partnerships?
Thank you, Chairperson members. Some of the partnership agreements, arrangements we concluded on the past financial year. We've appointed 8 NGOs to assist us with the planning for the informal settlement in the municipality. Also concluded on a memorandum of understanding with the four banks and FMO loans on the financial arrangements for affordable housing. So those are the two main. And so it's two of our strategic objectives, one being affordable housing and the other being providing housing.
I'll ask the Minister to respond to the one pertaining to the targets.
Thank you, Chairman. The reason for the higher delivery against the target that when we pick up no progress in the project, we then need to celebrate those projects don't often result in achieving them. We don't necessarily limit it to the amount that is targeted. If there's a great project is ready for implementation, then we would give the green light to accelerate to meet the quota.
I'll ask Amashia to respond to the situation of vacancies.
Thank you. Chairperson, one of the vacancies is owned by the Bangladeshi. Yesterday. So that one is full. The other one is in the process of review. That interview was one of our candidates.
place a burden on the working class and expect them to pay for everything. There's an anomaly there. Because if I can take an example, Member Davies and Member Sinner, that we are spending around 170,000 just to feed a good house. If you take that day stage house that you build for free, you don't do anything. It costs more than 400,000. Because that free house was subsidized then, was subsidized by the infrastructure, there's no bed, there's no marketing cost, and that is why it's affordable for, I mean, when you give it for free. But once you start to put those for the market that belongs under this, then it will come down. And that is why part of the conversation that we are having is that already we are taking a decision to increase the threshold to 22,000. But it doesn't solve that particular problem because already at the national level the decision has been taken that people who qualify under this are those who are earning between 3,500 and 22,000 now, no longer 15,000. But the biggest problem that we need to solve is affordability and indebtedness of people. So one, there are two things that we are doing in that space. One, we allow people in our policy to say that people must be given a subsidy first before they can afford the bank. We are reviewing the policy. Because once you get the subsidy, the bank will look at you differently. And then you might have an opportunity to get. But the second thing that we are dealing with is we are engaging with our service providers so that the products that they produce are affordable to the people that are talking about. I think the biggest mistake that service providers are making is to use the house that we give for free as a benchmark for houses that must be sold. For example, the assumption is that if we give a house which is 40 square meters, then it means under affordable housing must start at 45 per household. Now there is a very wrong assumption because the size of the house must be tailor-made depending on what the person can afford. Because the key question that we need to ask is if your income is 10,000, if your income is 8,000, what can you afford? What type of a house can you afford? If it's 32 square meters, why not? Why should we start at 45 because we keep 40 square meter house for free? So those are the things that we are thinking of. But also the banks are very are not coming to the party, but in this beyond. So there are a number of issues, members, that we are busy dealing with in that particular space. Before we can actually talk about the performance of this, it is a problem for all of us, and we've identified those problems and we are dealing with them. So I think we must relook at how we set these targets, given the fact that our experience is so. Because if truthfully, to give you 1,700 is a very low target. But in an environment that I've just described, I mean, it's difficult to even achieve that. I think Brian can tell you, I mean, how many people you have to go through before you find one person that qualifies. So,
each would be
the best.
Before each would be on the map, if I can answer your question and you still want to do the follow-up on the specific question, you may do this so that you don't include the extra information.
Yes, thank you. Once through the first semester explaining, but I know that there is a level of scale for the
I think they
small dollars, not dollars like a musical or job, but the even smaller ones, where they look at teachers and nurses or officials, or where they actually convert the municipalities into smaller developments, which are within the first category. We are actually busy with it. But then I hand over to you, Brian.
I'm responsible for affordable housing. In terms of the numbers, during the development sector, the challenge really is that officials struggle to understand the demand for this. So it is said that income bracket is 15,000 to 22,000, but then the average income level in that municipality is 7,500. The product that we build in the winter is not necessarily the product that the municipality or the business can afford. So what we started doing is the affordable housing specialist guide developed a survey, and in the survey we asked simple questions like, what do you earn, what is your partner earn, where are you living, how many people in your household, would you expect to serve a tax, for example. It was quite a detailed survey, and we ran workshops around the province in these non-metro municipalities. We had about 2,800 households fall in that survey. And that should give an indication of the demand that the municipality. Jason mentioned Oxford. Although all of the visitors that came from the meeting will fall in the survey, on a week night we have 600 people calculating affordable housing needs. But what if we do for the municipality is a measure of what the visitors can afford. The second thing that is done today is for us is to maximize the partnership agreements that we've got with the banks. So, for example, what we'll do now is the information that we've got from those surveys, we can link the bank to start doing pre-screening on who people who qualify for mortgages, and we can do things about physical rehabilitation for at least a handful. So, if the specialist will say, after 10 applications, only one will be passed by the bank, we'll know who the one is, we'll know who the 9 that are between are, but we'll also know the 5 or 6 that have just been reviewed for small reasons that we can then rehabilitate. And that way, a smaller target of 5 or 10 becomes visible. The other thing that we're wanting to do is work with the retailers who've been engaging with them constantly in those areas. So employers in the area, if we begin to group the smaller employers, 5 of Woolworths, 5 of Spar, 5 of Athens, suddenly you're looking at 10 or 15, 20 that could afford an opportunity, and we need to move to employers with housing and all the lowering in this, for example, salary reduction by the employers, that's like those kinds of things. So we try different avenues within the local municipalities to improve the affordability of the beneficiaries.
Just also on this a little bit more specific around what we're doing with for example with Caledon and Fernandina municipality, that we run up in excess of 16 applications which are currently with the bank in order to do pre-approval. Because we are saying what can a person qualify for? You know, the amount so that we can structure the product accordingly so that they can at least afford. But again, the challenges are there, and then those that will fail that cannot be assisted. You know, at the pre-approval stage, we will then send them on a rehabilitation program in conjunction with financial institutions in order to get them ready and sort out their credit challenges that they've got.
We are trying to find this one. But I want to make an example. We spoke about Flavia.
identify those people and then put them in their business plan when they put together their business plan and send it to us. So we don't dictate to municipality where and for whom they should be. But we have a role to play in terms of assisting them, and we have been doing that. Now, the issue of flatland, for example, I think it is partly linked to what I said earlier. When I was there, I mean, I realized that for many people, the price of their house is out of reach. They will not afford it. It's exactly the point that I made, that affordability and the fact that people are living in debt are two major problems in the state. So that is why we need to really work around these issues. And in rural areas, what is very popular, by the way, is that people want the old site. They want crops. I mean, in most of the areas that I've been to, I mean, I think just 2 weeks ago, I was in Cape Town. Want to own crops, especially those who cannot get a bond from the bank. And that is what now has been the considering rolling out. Because while you give free plots to people who are earning up to 7,000, we are also now planning to say that if your income is up to 15,000, you still don't qualify for a bond, and obviously, which means you don't get a discount subsidy. I have proposed that we need to sell the plots, but instead of charging them and having the land, we just get back the input cost. If we're servicing, if we identify land and service it, we charge those people what we put in as a servicing cost, and that's it. I can tell you that those plots will fly like fat books. Because that resonates with people. It really resonates with people, and I think that is what we've been saying that we now need to do. That we consider, because what people want to open is the property. Property is not just a house. If I can have a plot and a title deed, and because we can be amazed what people can do. And when we speak from experience, people tell us that Kwazakhele, Makazi, there's also a developed, people receive plots and they do their own things. So that is what we are saying, that for that group, we must just provide plots and sell them at a reasonable price.
Adding to what Melissa said, I think the most important thing that we are getting
do a monthly, and we give a request to the city on the city day, and they introduce for that. But the indicator says all, so there's 24 places for the whole year that wasn't placed in the city day, and we are working on our processes. The asset management plan, that was part of our AOK, we didn't have the plan to replace the asset management plan, so we couldn't. They didn't accept our accounting officer system who deals with how we use our assets. That is the furniture business and so on. How we assess them, how we replace them, how we write them off. So, but we are dealing with it, and every year the bars have been kept higher, and it's good. We're moving upwards. And there's a new indicator coming in, we didn't have that description before, the next year we will have it. But thank you for that, and thank you for the recommendation of giving some context on the side so that it affects the culture of the community. Thank you.
Since you're
from
Maui,
can you
give any detailed explanation? I've been in India and faced living down and only got to go to the city. So if you can prefer on even if you have not coming back, but in your next and in physical, can you give a more comprehensive and detailed summary, even if it's not long, that the sort of people can know why and we don't ask them?
Thank you.
kinds of questions on how people are building their sheds. Because that's not our responsibility to tell people how to build their sheds. Our responsibility is to try and provide houses to people who are living, which is a massive challenge compared to the resources that we have. But having said that, I mean, I think I will speak about the ISST, but having said that, the biggest challenge that we have is that when we do the upgrading of information, we working with NGOs. The classic example, I mean, is Ula. I mean, some people who know the project that you are dealing with in Joshua, where we are developing that area, I mean, and I mean, through in situ upgrading. The biggest challenge that we have is that we go into a meeting, we agree with the communities on how we are going to develop an area. We count how many informal settlements there are there. We open up spaces and make sure that there are access roads, etc., etc. 2 days later, when you go back there, all those spaces are full of sheds. Now, that is the biggest problem that we have. And more often than not, is that the people who are responsible for that are the very same leaders. Because they sell those spaces to people. And led up to the problem that we are talking about. So, there is a serious problem on how you deal with the issue of informal settlements that are mushrooming all over. Because, if truth be told, even though the city of Cape Town is the ISS Innovation Unit, but that is the only municipality that has a capacity to have that unit. Other municipalities don't have. And honestly, it is the responsibility of the land owner. In most cases, the land that we develop is owned by municipalities. It is the responsibility of the land owner to make sure that the land is not invaded. But practically speaking, that's just not possible. And those municipalities have no capacity to stop those pieces of land being, you know, occupied. So, as I said, this is largely due to population growth, due to immigration, but also partly because as the children get older, they want to move out and put sheds all over. We will not sit here and pretend to have answers to all these things because they are complex. I mean, well, unfortunately, we don't have a situation now where we no longer have so-called influx control. People have a freedom of movement or whatever they want. But as I said earlier, the biggest challenge that we have is that there is no proper coordination and working relationship with the so-called community. And the last thing I want to say, if I can just speak from my background as a former executive member of Carriage and Development Forum, we used to manage this as community leaders. We used to work with communities. We used to make sure that land is not invaded. We used to make sure that once the area is identified for development, and we have, you know, assisted the communities to build informal settlements in such a way that there are access roads, no further invasion. But the problem, it is a bigger problem, is that there is a vacuum when it comes to civil society organizations in our community and their effectiveness in working with government to do the right thing. That is a bigger problem that we have in our society. Because the fact that the people who are on the wrong side of the law have taken over our community and civil society organizations and have very little to do with that, speak to this bigger problem that I'm talking about. Because we can lament about gangs and crime, does the study now just getting off from the topic? We cannot expect police alone to deal with the problem. If there's no working relationship and when you don't have strong civil society organizations that are making sure that they work closely with the police, will continue with the problem. So it's the same thing with informal settlement as well, is that if people are not providing leadership and assistance to the government to make sure that the spaces that have been opened are not closed so that when they put an accident like fire, we are able to get in there quicker, it becomes a massive problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
performance bonuses, the percentage must go up from 1.5% to 1%. That was also present. And then on the 6,000 worth of furniture that we didn't buy because the modernization of our housing was not done. So we are not going to buy furniture.